This is Finding Center, a daily half hour of spiritual focus. Today on Finding Center, we'll hear a BYU Idaho campus devotional address by Elder Matsua Gotata, titled Anchored in Christ. It was given March 3rd, 2026.
My dear brothers and sisters, over the years, I've come to love every place where God's sons and daughters are gathered. Here on this campus, we have you gathered from all over the world, from Europe to Asia, from Africa to Australia, and from the islands of the sea. We each have a story to tell. Our stories may be different from place to place and person to person, but in many ways, they are also very similar. I was born and raised in a small village in a beautiful country called Botswana, on the African continent. It is a place where people still speak of visions and dreams, where heaven has often felt close. One of the greatest blessings of my life is the fact that I was raised by my grandmother. Although we were not members of the Restored Church, she was deeply devoted to the Lord. Every morning and every night, she would gather us together to read from the Bible and to pray, way before the inspired term home-centered, church-supported was coined. My dear grandmother ensured that we lived by those words. On Sundays, we went to church. It was not negotiable. I remember seeing her on her knees, pleading with God for her children, her family, her friends, and her neighbors. She trusted him, she loved him, and I knew from a very young age that if anyone knew God, my grandmother knew him. She has long since passed away, but that is the sacred legacy I will always remember about her. She taught me at a young age to become familiar with the voice of God. I knew then, and I know now, that God is real and that he speaks. As a young boy, I was deeply touched by the story of the boy Samuel, who heard the Lord calling and was taught to answer, "Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." I remember thinking, if God knows a boy like Samuel, then he must know me too. But then questions began to grow in my heart. If God called prophets back then, where are his prophets today? Does God still speak? These questions led me to search earnestly for a God who speaks to his children. In that search, I spent hours and hours with different religious leaders. I spent many days arguing and trying to prove them wrong. At the time, I thought faith was something you won with words. I was driven by a desire to win, to outsmart people with my Bible bashing. Even though I won a number of those arguments, I always walked away feeling empty inside. So when someone warned me not to meet with the missionaries from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, to me it sounded like an invitation to seek them out. And I did. When I found them, I was prepared to debate. They were young and not very experienced in the Bible, and I thought, this is going to be easy. I asked them the same question I'd asked many in the past. Do you believe in a God who speaks? Like he spoke to Adam, to Moses, to Isaiah, to Elijah, and to my favorite prophet, Samuel. They began to share a story of a young boy who went into a grove of trees to pray. And as they described what happened in answer to his prayer, my heart burned within me. They shared these words from Joseph Smith's. I saw a pillar of light exactly over my head, above the brightness of the sun, which descended gradually until it fell upon me. When the light rested upon me, I saw two personages whose brightness and glory defy all description, standing above me in the air. One of them spake unto me, calling me by name, and said, pointing to the other, "This is my beloved son, hear him." As they shared that story, something happened inside of me. My heart was touched in a way I could not argue or reason away. I had no more desire to debate. All that was left was simple and sincere. It was to know, does God still speak? I knew then and I know now that God the Father and his Son Jesus Christ appeared to the boy Joseph Smith and called him to be a prophet. It was a settled, confident, personal witness. Joseph described that kind of witness from God this way. I knew it, and I knew that God knew it, and I could not deny it. Moroni's promise became real to me. God will manifest the truth unto you by the power of the Holy Ghost. And by the power of the Holy Ghost, you may know the truth of all things. I learned that God is not silent. Revelation is real. That is how my testimony of the restoration began. By testimony, I mean a personal witness given by the Holy Ghost, spiritual knowledge placed into a person's heart and mind by God. A testimony is not just a tradition. It's not just emotion. It's not just social belonging. It is not the same as having an answer to every hard question. And I want to say this plainly, with clarity. The Lord has never required omniscience as the price of discipleship. In other words, your foundation is not built on having every explanation. It's built on knowing where to stand. As a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, we stand with Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. We are anchored to him and his teachings by covenant. Some good and faithful disciples sometimes quietly wonder, do I really have my own testimony? Is my testimony strong enough to last? Will I be able to raise a faithful family someday in this loud, complicated, and skeptical world? If you've ever asked those questions, I want you to hear this clearly. You are not alone. If you sometimes feel unsure, as many of us do, please don't conclude that something is wrong with you. In many instances, our testimonies are built line upon line, here a little, there a little. That means that you will have to take some steps of faith, even while you still have questions. Faith and questions can coexist. A faithful disciple is not one who has no questions. A faithful disciple is one who trusts Jesus Christ and build their foundation on him while they seek answers from divinely appointed sources of truth. Because questions are not the enemy, drift is. People who walk away from the Savior don't usually make the decision suddenly or abruptly. More often, they drift away. They decide to skip once, then twice, then often, until what used to feel normal and natural, like praying daily and searching the scriptures, starts to feel distant. Drift rarely begins with rebellion. It begins with small decisions about what we choose to listen to, what we allow to shape our assumptions, and what we repeatedly touch with our minds. The Lord gave a simple standard. That which doth not edify is not of God and is darkness. And then he added, that which is of God is light. Boats that are anchored do not drift. That is why we anchor testimonies to Jesus Christ. He is the rock upon which we build. If you know him, even in a simple way, you are on solid ground and you can keep building. I know that faith in Jesus Christ can help us overcome all the difficulties, all the injustices, and all the destructions of this mortal life. Priesthood ordinances and covenants, which God has restored in their fullness in our day, are like the chains of the anchor that keep us connected to Jesus Christ. With that covenant connection, we can be changed through his grace, healed and brought safely home, even when storms come. Let me tell you about a storm I experienced as a young missionary. There was a moment when my own foundation was tested, my dear brothers and sisters. One evening, after a long rainy day of knocking on doors, my companion and I decided to try one last door. The man who opened the door kindly invited us in. We were grateful. It felt like a miracle. But as we sat down, his tone changed. He looked directly at me, the missionary of African descent, and began pressing us about the church's former restriction on priesthood and temple blessings. Until that moment, I did not know that part of our history. His words were painful. Within minutes, my excitement turned to confusion and hurt. It felt as if everything I had known about God, his son Jesus Christ, and the witness of the Holy Ghost was suddenly harder to reach. Many of you have experienced moments like that, when faith is stretched and the heart longs for reassurance. When we left, my heart was in turmoil. For the first time, I wondered if I should remain on my mission. Not knowing what else to do, I went straight to see my mission president. He listened kindly, and then he said something simple. Elder Matswahotata, go back to that home, bear your testimony, then come back and we will talk. So that rainy night, we returned and knocked on the same door. The same man opened. Standing there on the doorstep, rain soaking my suit, I did what my mission president had asked. I bore my testimony. I testified of the restoration, that God the Father and his son Jesus Christ appeared to the boy prophet Joseph Smith, that this is the church of Jesus Christ restored to the earth, that the Lord leads his church today with living prophets and apostles, and that the priesthood is real. And as I stood there bearing my testimony, I felt the Lord's reassurance fill me almost from head to toe with peace which passeth all understanding. That peace was the witness of the Holy Ghost. To this day, words cannot fully describe what I felt that night, and that witness has stayed with me through the years. That night, I learned something I will never forget. A testimony is not a display of eloquent words or knowledge of something or everything. It is a personal witness of eternal significance, born to our souls by the Holy Ghost. I also learned that some questions are asked with humility and real intent to understand. Others come packaged to provoke, to shame, or to make faith look and feel naive. The Spirit helped me learn the difference. Most important, I learned that what I did not yet know did not erase what the Holy Ghost had already taught me. I have faced questions and destructions since then, but I have chosen not to let them determine the future of my faith or that of my children and grandchildren. I knew then, as I know now, that this is the work of Jesus Christ. And after that sacred experience, everything else has become background noise in my life. I also want to acknowledge that I still, to this day, have questions I can't answer yet. And that is okay. I know the answers will come eventually. In the meantime, my unanswered questions do not invalidate revealed truth. The Lord does not ask us to pretend we know everything. That would be dishonest, but it would be just as dishonest to throw away what we do know. He simply asks us to be faithful with what he has already given. President Jeffrey R. Holland taught, "In this church, what we know will always trump that which we do not know. And remember, in this world, everyone is to walk by faith." He also said, "When those moments of doubt come and issues surface, the resolution of which is not immediately forthcoming, hold fast to what you already know and stand strong until additional knowledge comes. I am deeply appreciative of the many wonderful scholarly works that have been put together regarding the restoration. However, I am most grateful for the gift of the Holy Ghost, through which I have received revelation and a clear knowledge of eternal things. I continue to study and search the Holy Scriptures for answers and direction, but ultimately, It is the Spirit who turns information into conversion. There will always be unlimited questions. The adversary will always raise questions faster than we can answer them. If we chase every question as if our peace depends on it, we may never come to settled spiritual knowledge. Instead, the Lord's pattern is clear. Study, pray, and then act in faith. As he teaches in the Doctrine and Covenants, let us cheerfully do all things that lie in our power, and then may we stand still with the utmost assurance to see the salvation of God. He has given us covenants to anchor us to him, prophets to point us to him, scriptures to steady us, and the Holy Ghost to teach us. A resilient testimony isn't built by collecting perfect answers. It's built by staying with Christ and allowing him to teach you according to his will and timing. Oh, my dear friends, I was not there when the Red Sea parted. I was not there when prophets saw and testified of the Messiah. I was not there in the sacred grove. I was not there in Gethsemane or at the empty tomb. And yet, through the Holy Ghost, I know these experiences happened. I know with a surety that Jesus Christ lives and that this is his restored church. You can have that same surety. That is not borrowed belief. That is not blind tradition. That is spiritual knowledge. I do not claim to know everything, but this much I know. This much I know. The Holy Ghost is a more trustworthy source and teacher than any other algorithm. The world may call this naive, I call it sacred. God has spoken to me. President Darlin H. Oaks said, I want to help all our members overcome present or future doubts. Whatever those doubts, the way to overcome them is to get closer to our Savior Jesus Christ. Again and again, he has taught us that he is the way. In the spirit of President Oaks' counsel, let me offer three simple anchors. First, stay close to the Savior. When storms come, do not run from Christ and our Heavenly Father. Run to them. Second, stay grounded in truth. Look for truth in trustworthy places. The scriptures, the words of living prophets and apostles. The Lord has always guided his people through revealed truth. How I treasure the scriptures and the words of prophets, because they point me to Christ. And I love the Lord's promise in the Doctrine and Covenants. You can testify that you have heard my voice and know my words. Elder Neil L. Anderson said, a prophet does not stand between you and the Savior. Rather, he stands beside you and points the way to the Savior. When we heed prophetic counsel, our faith becomes anchored in Jesus Christ. And this is our best protection from deception and drift. In a world of loud opinions and constant distractions, some voices can unsettle our faith and dim our hope. I invite you to be wise and careful. Ours is not to be swallowed up by the noise around us, but to stay close to the Savior and keep walking with him, one faithful step at a time. Third, stay with the Spirit. The Spirit doesn't just give information, he gives revelation. Choose music, media, friendships, and habits that invite the Spirit to be with you. Be patient with the Lord's timing as he teaches you line upon line. Remember that it's okay if your testimony is still under construction, as long as your foundation is solidly attached to Christ. And be patient with yourself. The Lord honors honest effort, even when it's small. In the New Testament, there's a moment when Jesus taught what some of his disciples called a hard saying. It was so hard, in fact, that many went back and walked no more with him. Then Jesus said to the 12, "Will ye also go away?" Everyone faces a "will you also go away" moment in their life. How will you answer yours? Peter answered with simple, steadfast faith, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. That is my testimony too. I choose Christ. I thank him for what I know, and I trust him with what I do not yet know. I testify that God lives. We are his children. Our Father in heaven knows you. He loves you, and he's not far from you. I testify that Jesus is the Christ, the Holy Messiah. He has restored his church in the fullness of his gospel. He leads it today through living prophets and apostles. And the Holy Ghost can place that knowledge into your heart as surely as he's placed it into mine." May I share these words spoken by that man who communed with Jehovah, even Joseph Smith, who declared, "The standard of truth has been erected. No unhallowed hand can stop the work from progressing. The truth of God will go forth boldly, nobly, and independent till it has penetrated every continent, till the purposes of God shall be accomplished and the great Jehovah shall say, 'The work is done.'" When those words were spoken, there were only a handful of leaders and a small group of believers in the restored church. And yet today, here I stand, a simple man from the African continent, bearing witness of eternal truth and watching that inspired prophecy unfold. We are seeing the Lord gather Israel. We are seeing more young men and young women choose to serve missions. We are seeing the church established across continents and islands of the sea. And the reason is not because the members know everything. It is because of simple, resolute faith in Jesus Christ. Your faith and the faith of faithful disciples across the earth. To those who wonder, quietly and sincerely, "Is my testimony enough?" I say, hold to what the Spirit has already taught you. Do not trade spiritual knowledge for borrowed doubt. Do not let one unanswered question counsel 100 answered prayers. Prison Holland taught, in moments of fear or doubt or troubling times, hold the ground you have already won, even if that ground is limited. Keep walking with Christ, and I promise he will give you light, strengthen your foundation, and anchor your soul. I know that you have what is required to stand firm in a world that is trembling all around you. I testify that as you anchor your faith and testimony in Jesus Christ through sacred covenants, he will always be the answer to your honest questions of the soul. With you and like you, I testify that the soul that on Jesus hath leaned for repose, I will not, I cannot desert to his foes. That soul, though all hell shall endeavor to shake, I'll never, no, never, no, never forsake, in the sacred name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
You've been listening to Finding Center. Join us every weekday at 11 a.m. Mountain, 1 o'clock Eastern Time, for a half hour of inspiration and recentering. Today we heard Anchored in Christ by Elder Matswa Gotata. Find a link to the full text, audio, and video of this address at byuradio.org/findingcenter. Finding Center is a production of BYU Broadcasting.